All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Can you see it? Did you know this?
Checked, but the puck comes right to Pettersson, who tries a bank pass for Besser. In with a shot, he scores!
A moment's notice. Adams leaves the puck.
To the line, Hughes scores!
In this existence,
you're listening to Canucks Conversation.
Quinn Hughes beat reporter here. Like, I don't cover the Canucks. Yeah. I cover Quinn Hughes and what he's doing to the Canucks.
A member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash.
Just wave the guy and get Demko involved. I wanted him in and down.
Wow. We should do a radio show together. Right on. I want to fist bump you right now.
What our house.
Pearl steals, cutting in, shoots, scores!
Public display is that what you need?
They slayed the dragon!
Hideous existence, existence.
Don't waste all the good stuff on the off air, let's go.
Hello, Canucks fans, and welcome back to another episode of the Canucks Conversation, brought to you by the great folks at Zephyr Epic. You can use our promo code HOCKEYSEASON, capital H, capital S, all one word, at ZephyrEpic.com. Z-E-P-H-Y-R Epic. Go check them out on all platforms. The new Upper Deck Allure boxes are here. Definitely go take a look at those.
Also, look at that. Somebody's been looking at the Instagram.
Email.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, we get emails. We are also delivered to you by the great folks at DoorDash. Use promo code CONVODD, capital C, capital D's, all one word, gets you 25% off your first order and free delivery. Does not get much better than that, folks. My name is David Quadrelli. I am joined, as always, on a very special episode by the man who built the place, Chris Faber. Chris, episode 200. I've been here for, what, 149 of those? Something like that.
140. 61 was your first episode.
Oh, yeah.
So that would
that's
be...
That's how math works.
That's how math... People should know this about you, and it pisses me off, that you can't do, like, simple additions and multiplications. Okay. Like, when we were on the golf course, one time you pulled out the calculator to add threes and fours together to get a final score on the golf cart.
Because it goes up. It adds up, man.
Yeah, but you should be able to do that kind of math in your head. 3 + 4 + 5. For you, a couple sixes.
No. Literally, the only thing I was good at in school was English. I am horrible at math. I always have been. All I do well is write. So it works. Mm. It works for my
career. Actually, yeah, that does make a lot of sense. I was always really good at, like, the quick multiplication tables.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, up to about 20, I can give you a lot of those pretty quick. Don't test me right now.
I'm going to come out and say something. Sorry, Mom. Sorry, any of my teachers that are hearing this. I never learned how to do long division. Like, you know how in grade 7 you do long division?
Oh, man.
I was sick the week we, like, learned. And then I was like, they can't hold me back from grade 7 if I fail a long division test, right? Like, I'll still go to high school. So I went ahead, just never learned how to long divide. And then I think I missed the test too. So I missed the lesson and the test. And then I remember I got sent home. Well, not sent home, but the teacher sent stuff with me to practice. To practice my long division, and I just never did it.
Wow. You know, I never learned how to long divide. I had a similar thing, but for writing in cursive. I missed, like, a good solid start to the week about writing in cursive. Mm. So to this day, my last name starts with an F. I have no idea how to do a cursive F. So I'd, like, have been making it up my whole life, like, how to, like, sign my own name and do the F. Also the H in Chris, like, I don't understand any of those either. Yeah, that's, like, mine doesn't look like that. You just drew it here on our little desk. Mine does not look anything like that.
Draw your F.
No, this is not good podcasting.
No, we'll take a picture. Post it on the Twitter.
I wouldn't even know where to start. I think it would be like, that's how I do an F in cursive. We'll have to post a picture of this.
Oh, my gosh.
That's how I start my last name. I still don't know how to do the H. I literally just made up the
too
H.
Good. Too good. Wow, yeah. I'm really glad that we got to this on the first 5 minutes. And we were just saying before this, we're like, oh yeah, we got hockey to talk about. This is going to be a great episode 200. But this is our calling card. Just absolute nonsense start.
Writing on a podcast and just posting a picture. I'll post a picture, like, right now so people know what we're talking about. Yeah. I'll post it right now and people have no idea what we're talking about. So maybe they listen to the podcast.
Just no caption.
Yeah. Okay. Let's get into it, man. Like, we were kind of saying, well, before we do episode 200, let's reflect a bit because, man, we wouldn't have gotten to 200 if we weren't doing two shows a week through a pandemic, through an off season. I am so surprised we were able to keep it up and get to 200 episodes this early. It's all because of doing the two episodes a week. We started that because the Patreon people were supporting us enough that it was possible for us to pay for me to drive my truck and the gas for my truck in here all the time.
Yeah.
Don't have the truck anymore, which is good. Well, still do, but it's just parked.
Just parked.
But man, it's been crazy to get to 200 episodes so fast. It feels like when we started, you came on in the start of 2020.
Yeah, January 2020.
I started the show in November of 2018.
Wow.
The first episode with Kurt Appleby.
We really picked up the pace once I
joined. Kurt Appleby, now full circle.
Yes.
Comes on the Canucks combo, gets the bump. 2 years later, he's with Sakaris and Price.
Yeah.
We probably are the reason for that.
We're dream makers.
Exactly. Once they probably went back, listened to episode one, they're like, damn.
Yep.
Chris and Kurt talking about Shotgun Jake at the time. We talked about 20 minutes on Shotgun Jake. Didn't know what I was doing with this podcast.
That Matt Sakaris, you know, he likes his intro episodes.
He sure does. It was good. Man, it's crazy to get to this point. And yeah, just like to go through it. We went through the offseason, get two episodes a week. We don't do it often, but I think we deserve a little pat on the back from ourselves here at this point. Yeah. It's been a long time, man.
Yeah, we were saying before we started, I was like, you know what, let's just spend the first 10 minutes just patting ourselves on the back for how well
we're
done.
Allowed to on the 200th episode.
No, I think we are.
I think it's enough. It's been enough of that. We have so much to talk about, man. We were both at the game last night. We both watched the game on Sunday. One of us was at all 3 days of training camp. we have a lot to get into, a ton to get into. I don't know where you want to start. Do we want to start with the bad? Do we want to start with the good? Do we want to start with the Vasily Podkolzin? Let's start with that because I don't think he was either of those things.
Really?
In this first priest, listen, I've seen a lot of Vasily Podkolzin. I don't have to tell you that. I didn't think it was a better game for him, but I thought he fit right in with NHL competition. He didn't stand out as one of the better players, but that line together looked solid. Like the Garland, Miller, Podkolzin line spent a ton of time. I was really hoping that Natural Stat Trick was going to be up. The only preseason game Monday night that wasn't on Natural Strat Trek was the Canucks and Flames. How does that happen? How do you get the how does the Phoenix game get Natural Strat Trek and we don't get it?
Well, this one,
Louis Erickson with like a 60% Corsi percentage in his game down in the desert.
I wrote about that goal that Louis scored. Louis has scored, for those that haven't seen it yet, go look at the Arizona Coyotes Twitter account. Louis scored probably the nicest goal he's ever scored.
Wasn't even looking towards the net.
No, he wasn't.
It's his trick. He was looking backwards at the other net. And if you look at the other net, then you're all good to go. And you just kind of, you know, shoot and it goes in the right spot. Yeah. Top shelf too. Nice shot by Luke. We're not going to spend too much time there. Pod Colson, here's the thing. Like I liked a lot of the little things Pod Colson was doing. I liked a lot of his just little things in the battle, but it's not like he stood out as like the best player. And, no. And maybe we're grasping a little because we all want that to happen.
Yeah.
I especially want that to happen. I mean, seeing him just skate around in a Canucks jersey got me excited right off the bat to see that happen. So I liked what he did in game one, but I think he's going to be right back in there on game on the Friday game. I think the Friday game is going to be big. 3 days off completely. That's going to be a big test. But what did you see from Pod Colson that makes you, you know, somewhat disagree with what I was saying?
Well, here's the thing is, you know, there's no disagreeing that, yeah, he didn't light the world on fire offensively, didn't do anything crazy offensively that makes you go, oh man, he's making the team. But when he would lose the puck or he had to start back checking or his defensive awareness was tested, man, that guy passed with flying colors. Like, that's why he's going to make this team. He's not going to make this team because he scored a bunch of goals, and I know he hasn't, but even if he does, that's not why he's going to make the team. He's going to make the team because he's already so defensively responsible and already gets it. Like, Travis Green talks a lot about players making mistakes, and, you know, with Höglander, they had to be a little more careful because he does make mistakes every once in a while, not the best defensively, but with Pod Colson, his defensive awareness is through the roof. Like, he was back checking hard. He literally looks like an NHL player. And you know, there was that chance that he set up that McEwen whiffed on, right? That was a really setup. That was a really nice setup. And if that goes in, yeah, you even turned to me and, you know, not to rag on McEwen, but it was funny what you said. You were like, see, he still just needs NHL players to pass.
No, what I said was, imagine when Vasily Podkolzin starts passing those passes to NHL players.
Yeah, because that's what that.
And McEwen, he could be an NHL player. We'll see what happens. I think he will be. I was joking a little bit.
I know.
I was more saying power play NHL players.
Oh, okay. Yeah, McEwen's a friend of the show. McEwen's a friend of the show.
He is a friend of the show.
Not trying to rag on.
But at the same time, it was pretty funny when I said, I'll be 100% off. It was, you know, yeah, I think getting him with Garland and Miller, like, I'm really going to be curious to what happens with this line. Like, I don't know if this is just because having Patan play with Höglander and Besser makes it feel like to me that we're going to see that pairing or that group just be, you know, Patan be a placeholder for Pettersson. Then you see the second line of Horvat, Pearson, and they're kind of rotating right now with Chiasson kind of being the other guy in there. Mm-hmm. But then Dickinson's kind of just like not really in a top nine group if you were to think about it. Like, if they were to play their lines right now, all four of their best lines, Dickinson would be the fourth line center, right?
Yes.
Because you would have the Patan line, which is weird to say.
the Patan line.
Let's just call it the PD line since that's what Brock's calling him.
Yeah.
We'll call it the PD line. We'll call it the Horvat line. We'll call it the Miller line and then the Dickinson line.
Wait, is Brock calling Patan PD?
Yeah, I had the video out there. I tweeted that out.
That's,
you know what?
So funny.
I told my girlfriend this. I was like, I 100% tweeted that out to trigger Clarissa. And it took like 30 seconds for Clarissa to quote tweet that, because I was like, I 100% I took that video, I heard him hear like scream Petey, and I was like, I am 100% going to bait Clarissa right here, and it absolutely worked. So though, that's the interesting thing to me, is like, I wonder where Dickinson slides in to that point. If you're going to go and put out like a real strong lineup to play against the Flames, I wonder if Dickinson plays with perhaps Pearson and Horvat on that line. And then you're looking at, you know, obviously Patan playing with Höglander and Besser. That's not an NHL line because of Patan, unfortunately, but we'll see. Maybe that's something that you can run in preseason until Pettersson gets here.
Yes.
Your second line, I'd like to see Pearson play with Horvat and Dickinson. Play Dickinson on the wing if you're going to go that route. That's kind of your third line, because your second line is going to be JT Miller at center with Connor Garland on the right and Pod Colson on the left. And if you're throwing those, that top nine out, like, it's going to be something that we really want to see on Friday. I would love to see that be the three lines that we're running out on Friday here, because I think that's a perfect spot for Pod Colson to land, where he's still going to be in an offensive position, but he's also with guys that, like Garland, we haven't really seen enough how good he is defensively, and JT Miller at center is a little shaky defensively as well, but Pod Colson is going to be that real help to JT Miller like defensively in the defensive zone. Those were the things that I liked about Pod Colson, was he made himself very available for outlet passes. Yeah. He also came down a lot. Like, I know as a winger, you cover the point man in the five on five. Yeah. But there was times in the corner where you saw Pod Colson come down a little bit to help. And just the presence of him and having his stick involved in stick in board battles really does a lot. And that's something that you don't really notice with wingers a lot unless you're looking for it. And maybe with Pod Colson, it was one thing that I was kind of looking for last night. But I really liked a little, like a lot of the small things that Pod Colson was doing, the things that I've seen him do in the KHL for so long. He did a lot of them against NHL competition. But the KHL competition is worse. And he, at times, was able to really outbody guys in the KHL. Yeah. Really outbody them. Look like a real strong piece. When you see him battling against NHL competition, you know, not like Calgary had the most NHL lineup, really, the other day. But there were times where, you know, Pod Colson was getting pushed around a little bit. And that's going to happen. He's 20 years old coming into the NHL. But at the same time, it'll be cool to see him grow into that role. When he gets more confident physically against NHL competition, to see how strong he can really be. Like, he's got the deepest voice in the world. He's obviously going to grow into that body a little bit more and become even bigger. But, I'm excited to see what he can do. And game one against NHL competition, to me, it wasn't good, but it wasn't bad either. But, you know, that was kind of a, you know, being okay against NHL competition in your first match, that's a good thing in the end.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a good starting point for Pod Colson. But I want to touch back on what you said about putting Dickinson on the wing. I don't get why everybody, when this guy was quite clearly acquired to be the third line center, why everybody's like, oh, let's put Dickinson on the wing. I don't get it. The Canucks haven't had a proper third line center for so long. And you were just talking about how Miller's a little shaky defensively and we'd like to see him on the wing more than anything, right? Like, that's his spot. I don't get this Dickinson on the wing talk at all.
Yeah, but to counterpoint that, if you're putting Miller as your center, you're making that like the most offensive line possible. If you put Garland on the side, Garland's, you know, stronger offensively than his defensively. Yeah. Pod Colson will be interesting to see how he matches up with him because he's more of a defensive player in the end. But you're not making that line to be like the Horvat line where it matches up against people. You want to kind of have that Miller line go against other teams' third lines, right? Like, you'll try and put the Horvat line against another top six line. You're going to go with the Pettersson line against another top six line. And then that, I know that Harmon kind of brought it up a few weeks ago, but if you are getting Miller with Pod Colson, and even if it's Garland or Pearson or whoever ends up playing there, if they're going against bottom six lines, they are going to eat offensively. They are going to just go off against these bottom six lines, and that's an exciting thing. So I was a little surprised to see that line together because it's not really one that I thought of. I didn't think Garland was going to be with Miller, and then to see Pod Colson on that line, I thought, wow, that does make a lot of sense for Pod Colson. So that's a line that kind of surprised me at training camp, and I've been pretty impressed with so far.
Look, here's the thing about all the lines and everybody's, you know, saying don't put too much in the lines. We've seen Travis Green. Like, Travis Green at the morning skate, those are his lines that he's going to play with that game night. Like, we've known him long enough that that's what happens. Same thing with training camp. Like, Nils Höglander was put on Horvat's line, and we were like, wow, that's going to be a line. And everybody's like, no, it's just training camp. Don't put any weight into it. Mm-hmm. And then sure enough, that's where he is opening night. It's this guy's spot to lose, basically. Now, I wonder how much of that is impacted, if that same sentiment can be said when Pettersson's gone, because if it can, that means that Nick Petan literally is just a placeholder. And when Pettersson comes back, he's playing with Höglander and Besser.
Petan's interesting because, like, if he is just a placeholder for right now,
he is.
Which he is, I think. But where does he start to get into that battle with, you know, the guys like DiGiuseppe because he can play center? Does he battle with Highmore, that McEwen, that kind of that fourth line battle? I found it interesting for a guy like Petan because I thought he probably could be one of the guys that might be in the running. If he can play decently defensively, I don't know. I don't think he kills penalties very often, but if he can add that to his game, like, it's weird to think that he's still in the battle. For me, he's not even in the battle for the fourth line spot.
No.
Like, Chason's getting time in the top six playing with Horvat, but he's not. But he's not like in the same spot as Petan where that's his spot. Otherwise, he's going to the A. For Chason, to me, I get the feeling of like he still has a chance to be a fourth line guy on this team, even though he's getting the opportunity to play with Horvat right now.
Yeah, exactly. That's bang on. I really do think that, like, I do think Chason gets a contract. And look, like, they were using him as the net front presence on the power play.
Let's talk about him for a second because I thought he was impressive on Monday.
I thought so too. I thought so as well. He's also had a pretty good camp. Like, you know, you sign a PTO a few days before camp, never been to a Travis Green training camp before. a guy who's been there like five times is snow angeling on the ice, and Chiasson was fine. Like, Chiasson did fine in the bag skates. That's impressive. And especially when you're trying to make an impact and impress a coaching staff, and you only have like a couple weeks to do it and earn yourself a contract. And like he said, we asked him about this a few times. He's like, I've bet on myself before. Like, this is not Chiasson's first rodeo with a PTO route. Like, he's done this before, and he's like, I've bet on myself before, and it's worked every time. Like, he's confident.
This is a guy who played on a power play that had Connor McDavid on it last
year. Exactly.
He was on the first power play unit with the Edmonton Oilers. We could see it last night when they were playing like a Thatcher Demko highlight before the game of like McDavid across to Chiasson and Chiasson getting robbed by Thatcher Demko in the pregame, which we saw a lot of last year as well. But, you know, Abbotsford and Canucks fans got to see the video that we saw in the arena last year a lot. But to me, Chiasson, it's like, yeah, he's come in and he's been like one of the perfect options to get a PTO. And he mentioned it in his first media availability that he had five or six teams offer him, you know, a chance to come and try out for their team in the PTO. And Vancouver was the one that he wanted to go to. It was his decision to come to Vancouver and try and make the effort to make this team because he liked the exciting young core and liked the chances of them going into the playoffs. So I think with Chiasson, and I think you and I were talking about this last night, maybe it was Rob was in there with us as well. We're sitting with Rob Williams at Daily Hive. We were talking about this, and I was like, you know, Chiasson, if you're looking at him in the battle for the fourth line spot, out of all of the players, if there's an injury to a top six guy and you have to move someone up, Chiasson feels like the guy, right? Like, it's not going to be McEwen. It's not going to be Gajewicz. It's not going to be DiGiuseppe. Heck, does Chiasson jump up the lineup even over Tyler Mott? Like, to play in a top six role, if you need a body in a pinch, are you putting Mott there? Are you putting Chiasson there? Because Chiasson, to me, he's been proven to be able to put, you know, put the puck in the back of the net. And yeah, he's not a guy who's always going to be a top six player, but to me, he's the best option that can jump up in the lineup when you're looking at the guys battling for a fourth line spot.
I think Tyler Mott is literally the only guy who can really challenge that sentiment.
And I wouldn't even, like, if you're talking about Horvat's line or Patterson's line and you just need a body for a couple nights, I don't think it's Mott. If we're talking about, like, the Dickinson line, for sure it's Mott. Like, it would absolutely be Mott to go to the third line.
But I agree with you because Mott is really important to the structural integrity of that fourth line. Like, they're not going to want to split that up just so that he can go play in the top six. And again, we've known this coach for a while now. He likes to do the plug-and-play thing. Like, when a top six guy went out last year, Louis Erickson, who's a healthy scratch, was the guy that was going in, right? It wasn't like, oh, we're going to put Louis on the fourth line and everybody bumps up. Like, they don't want to change up those lines if the other lines are working, right? So, if that's the case,
I would split it, though. I'd say top six and bottom six. Like, that's, like, I can see Mott moving around the bottom six. Like,
yeah,
I can
absolutely
see him. But I don't, that's the thing with Chiasson, is I don't see him moving around as much. Like, if somebody went down the third line, Mott goes up. Someone goes down the top six.
I think Chiasson's on this roster come opening night.
Do you think he's opening
think
night?
He's, yeah, but like I don't playing. Think he's in the lineup. No,
okay,
I don't
that's
think
what I that's what I was curious about.
Well, is Pettersson signed?
Yeah, Pettersson. I think Pettersson's got to
okay,
be signed.
Okay, Pettersson signed, then no, Chiasson's not in the lineup opening
night. Do you think he's on the? You think he's on the roster? Though?
I do. Yeah.
So you think he? I think he's in the lineup. I think he's playing fourth line minutes.
I guess if Mott's not healthy either, right? If Mott's not there,
I didn't even think about
Chiasson's
I was thinking
there.
With Mott, but yeah. You know, and I don't think Mott's far. Like, we saw him practicing
after. Mott was the shooter for the goaltenders.
Well, and he was doing a lot of drills. He was skating around. Yeah. I think he's just coming back from a surgery and is probably in the spot right now where it's just no contact for him because he was giving it 100%, shooting, skating around, you know, not just, he just wasn't doing any contact, right? He was out there with Carson Folk. They were getting their work in, and Brisebois as well. But I don't think Mott's going to be that far away. And I think if, you know, we're still 2+ weeks away from the season starting, it will be interesting to see. Like, he's going to have to get into some practices, maybe even a preseason game. I don't think they throw him directly into like the opening night roster without getting a preseason game or anything. And like, he's going to need to see what contact is like, especially if he's coming back from a surgery. But I don't think he's far away. Do we want to do Yolevi right now, but then we'll head to break after? Let's do that.
Sure.
I mean, not
what
a
do you
bad,
have to say?
Not a bad night from him on Monday night, but the problem is not a bad night's just not good enough for Yolevi for after what he did in training camp.
Yeah.
Yes, his not a bad performance on Monday night in the preseason game is a step up from what he did in training camp for sure, because he just didn't look good in training camp. There were definitely some moments on Monday night where we were like, oh, that's a tough look for Yolevi. There's one point where he tripped over the tripped on himself behind the net there, and then a couple passes that weren't great, but he had a couple nice little stretch passes, and you got to give him that. Like, that's his game, right? And he was out there trusted by Travis Green to be killing penalties, playing alongside Tyler Myers in that role instead of Jack Rathbone, who, you know, Rathbone, we'll get into him a little bit later. But Yolevi's stock, it's very low right now, but it did get a small bump on Monday night from that preseason game, I think.
Not good enough. I'm not trying to rag on him or anything, but in my mind, with the performances they've turned in at training camp and in the games they've played, Jack Rathbone and Brad Hunt have already made this team. Like, I think Jack Rathbone's already made this team. I honestly don't know how anyone could watch the games and disagree with that. And with that in mind, yeah, Yolevi had a better game, but when the bar is as low as it was from his game in Seattle and with the training camp as well, when the bar is that low, it's not hard to do much better. The thing that you kind of pointed out was Jet Wu, who was his partner, looked better than him. But nobody's talking about Jet Wu because we don't have these all-time low expectations for him. The bar isn't 6 feet under for Jet Wu.
Yeah, I just thought that, like, watching him with Jet Wu yesterday, if you were to just take their nameplates and numbers off the back of your jersey, you couldn't tell between Jet Wu and Olli Levy which one might be fighting for an NHL job.
That's a great way of putting it.
They were the exact same two players. One just happened to be left-handed, one was right-handed, and one of them we know is going to be in the AHL in Jet Wu, and it's not like Levy was that much better than him.
And, you know, fighting for an NHL job, fighting for your career at this point for Yolevi. Like, time's ticking on Yolevi. Wu has a long way to go, right? Yeah. And, you know, he's gonna have to fight for a spot in Abbotsford. Like, that's what he's doing, right? Like, look at the right side depth that they have now in Abbotsford. Like, Brady Keeper going down. Yeah. Brady Keeper going down. Very unfortunate. Man, we were told Monday morning by Travis that broken leg for Keeper, tibia and fibula.
So I was at the other end of the rink trying to set up the podcast with Harmon, but I was talking to Raja from Sportsnet. He was down in the corner right where it happened. And the way that he said it was like he got hit with the puck, and as soon as weight went on it, something just bent the wrong way. And he said you could see it on the ice, and it was really tough to watch. And like Raja was telling me, they were right there. You could see him. Like, he didn't, when he hit the ice, he was just in shock almost too. Like, he said, like, he was laying there, and then when he kind of leaned up and looked at his leg all twisted the wrong way, that's when he just started screaming. You could hear that through the arena. That was a really tough way to finish training camp there, man. That was, you know, even as I was leaving the rink that day, I saw them taking him out in the ambulance, but it sounded like was it Benning or Green that told us that it was a successful surgery? And that's really too bad. Like, no, obviously the surgery's good, but like, the whole situation with Keeper was like, we were really excited to see him be one of those tough guys kind of leading that defense back
there.
He
was performing pretty well. He was having a good camp.
He was. Like, he was getting an opportunity to play with Tyler Myers above Olli Levy on day two.
Yeah.
Because of what Yolevi's performance was on day one, Keeper was one of the guys who jumped up and was getting a real opportunity. And I thought he was going to be, you know, up there battling with Bowie and Burrows for a top spot in Abbotsford. Absolutely. So really unfortunate. That's a tough injury, man. Like, that's going to, it's going to be a while until we see him again. Back to Yolevi. Like, where does he go from here? Because honestly,
Abbotsford, just down Highway 1.
The only spot for him right now has to be Abbotsford.
Yes.
Rathbone is not getting sent down. He's been too good.
Yeah.
And yeah, he took a bad penalty on a long shift, but he comes out of the box and redeems himself, immediately scores a goal. And it's not just that. It's the fact that he's playing with Tyler Myers. And I want to get into this before we hit the break here. But like Rathbone and Myers playing together, Rathbone's the better offensive player right now.
Yeah.
And Tyler Myers is supposed to be this offensive defenseman. We looked at it last night. Remember that there was a rush by the Canucks, and the two deepest players are Rathbone and Myers. Myers needs to recognize that he needs to be the guy staying back. If whoever's playing with Rathbone, no right shot player on the whole Canucks organization is a better offensive player than Jack Rathbone. He's better than every single right shot defenseman.
Yeah.
They need to be staying back. And I know Tyler Myers has a lot of things that he does well offensively. And yes, he can jump up and do offensive things as well. But Rathbone is a better player. He's better at moving the puck. He's better at stick handling. He's better at shooting. Myers needs to chill, man. You can't be going, like, we looked and it was Highmore and Waters back, like, skating backwards defending, because Myers and
chaotic
and
neutral,
crazy
baby.
To watch. And like, we saw times where Rathbone, and don't get me wrong, if this is a good thing, like, if he can dump the puck in and get to it first, great. You just don't see defensemen do that a lot. But if he's going to do that, you can't have Myers as the freaking F2 forechecking. He can't be the next guy in on the forecheck. Like, that needs to be recognized by Myers, and he's never had to do that because he's always been the offensive guy on his pairing, no matter where he's played. Like, he's been the offensive guy that you want to be able to be the leading offense, and that's the biggest problem that I have with the Rathbone-Myers pairing, and we might see that on opening night for the Vancouver Canucks, and it worries me a little bit because they're going to get caught. And it's, you know, it's like Rathbone does a good – when Myers does step off, Rathbone does lay off the gas. And he recognizes that he's a freaking yes. defenseman
yeah.
and he needs to stay back. But Myers doesn't figure it out. Myers, the pro, like the veteran, he's got to be able to recognize that, oh, that guy pinching in and chasing the puck, that's my partner. I should probably lay back here a little bit in case they do turn over the puck. But that to see him not recognize that, but see Rathbone be able to recognize it, that pairing worries me because yeah. Rathbone is going to have the puck a lot.
Well – that's what I want to say here is, you know, Luke Shen did not look great. Admittedly, he did not look great in that game against Seattle. But we still don't know if Travis Hamonic's going to opt out of the season, if he's going to retire. Report from Rick Dhaliwal of TSN there, from Donnie and Dolly, is saying that Hamonic's weighing all of his options right now. He's got a personal matter that he's kind of weighing all his options about. We're not going to get into it too much, but we're not sure if Hamonic is going to be here. He has until October 1st, Friday, keep an eye on that day, to opt out of the season if he'd like to. That would give the Canucks $3 million in cap space. If they get that, I'm all for them just moving Luke Shen up and just signing Hughes and Pettersson long term. Like, I know it gives them more money, and it, you know, that could be the difference maker. And
I will add to that.
I almost wonder, sorry to cut you off,
yeah.
I almost wonder if they're kind of waiting to see what Hamonic decides before they get a contract done with these two guys.
Well, I would think CAA is waiting more than anyone.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the Canucks just want to get him signed. CAA still wants to get the most money. But to add to that, if he does opt out, he's still on the books for next season.
Yes,
he is. So people need to recognize $3 million cap hit. It doesn't push the contract, so it's not like he has two more years. If he yeah. opts out, he's opting out of the first year
yes.
of his two-year contract. So, yeah, that does give the Canucks a nice little space to kind of potentially go long with both at that point, or it gives them a little bit of money to look for one of these other right shot defensemen out there who you kind of just want to be a guy that's a little bit better than Luke Shen, just a yes, little bit better.
Yeah, Luke Shen did not look good, and I'm gonna be honest, like I'm gonna need to see a little more from him in training or in these preseason games before I definitively say that yeah, put Jack Rathbone and Luke Shen on a third pair, that's gonna be fine. We don't know if that's gonna be fine, Chris, but I don't hate those two together at all. And honestly, like, I thought Myers and Rathbone looked fine last night. I think that's an NHL third pair. I really do. I know they were playing against AHL competition, but I do think those two together is a competent third pairing. Now, if you don't sign Hamonic, Myers has to go play with Hughes because OEL and Poolman has looked good. I don't think that's getting split up for a while. Like, I don't think we're seeing that pairing get shaken up because those two have settled in with each other. They're starting to learn each other's tendencies. You can see the chemistry building on the ice when you watch them play together. I don't think Myers is sliding up to play with OEL.
No. The name that we thought about for a while, and we talked about in the offseason, Jason Demers is still without a PTO anywhere. Like, that's a guy who's played in the NHL for the past couple of years. If you're looking for a one-year guy, why aren't you bringing in a guy like him, especially even with the situation going on with Hamonic?
Did Demers not sign?
Demers didn't sign with anyone. He's still skating in Arizona. I had to double check the facts to see where he was signing, but
interesting.
Nowhere. Still just skating in Arizona.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm a little skeptical about that. We'll see. But
maybe he's in a Hamonic situation.
The other option is on the waiver wire, and this is the thing. This is why, you know, people are saying, oh my gosh, Olli Juolevi's going to get claimed. First of all, who cares if he gets claimed? He's not going to be
the listeners care, because if he gets claimed, you're doing eight shots, apparently. And we owe Harman, the Patreon
we
people.
Do, yeah.
I'll be doing 16 shots in a sitting. You guys are going to be out after that.
Yeah, that'll be
there's no chance. If you do eight shots, you're going straight to bed. I'm driving you right home. You ain't doing anything after that.
That's fair. I can accept that. But
I'm not saying your body will not accept that.
Yeah, yeah. Anyways, what was I saying? Man, you made me lose my train of thought. Okay, yeah, yeah. This is what I was saying. The waiver wire is going to have some options for right defensemen. And, you know, not to knock Luke Shen, but there's going to be a defenseman, a right-handed shot defenseman, who's better than Luke Shen available, right? And if that's what you want to go explore, I say I'm all for that. Like, I'm all for the Canucks exploring that option. Mm-hmm. But on the other side of that is, yeah, if you lose Yolevi on waivers, so what? He's not getting claimed, first of all. There's so many people that go on waivers in that first week or whatever that he's not getting claimed. Like, it's so rare that anybody gets claimed in that week. Like, remember, the Canucks waived Jacob Markstrom, man, and he never got claimed. I'm just saying, if you're looking at it from a perspective of, oh, here's a first-round pick with potential, that's what Markstrom was, and nobody selected him. And I'm just saying, I really don't think anybody is going to select Yolevi. I really don't.
Yeah, I think after the camp that he's had and the preseason start, I'm almost flipping a little bit
and
on this too.
People around the NHL talk. Remember when my tweet of Yolevi in the bag skate got in the NHL alumni group chat? There's a lot of GMs there, I'm sure. And, you know, when Cam Jansen, who's the other guy? Max Lapierre, and there was one other guy, Carlo something Italian from...
What? Come TSN. On. You're just something Italian.
If I read it, I could pronounce it.
Koyakovo?
Yeah, that's it. Something yeah, like that. That sounds right.
Everyone in Toronto knows. He's a big radio guy in Toronto,
yeah.
I think.
No, I don't know how to pronounce his name, but I'm Italian, so I should. If I read it, I could pronounce it flawlessly. Regardless.
Figured out. Yeah, I see you and Riccio running into each other at training camp. And what's the first thing that comes out of both your mouth? Di Giuseppe. Both you guys, like, it's like you guys looked at each other, made eye contact, and said Di Giuseppe at the exact same time. Or no, it was like you guys looked at each other. How about Di Giuseppe? He's like, Di Giuseppe's been good. Something like you guys were just right into with Di Giuseppe.
I was like,
you guys never met. Yeah.
Yeah, I introduced myself. I'm like, hey, I follow you on Twitter, blah, blah, blah. And he follows me, and we've like interacted on Twitter. But yeah, I was like, yeah, I never met you. And then I was just like, yeah, just paisans. He's like, yeah, just paisans. Do you know what paisans are?
No.
Okay, so in Italian culture, paisans are basically, like, all of my family's paisans are just the people that came from the same village in Sicily at the same time as us. So we're not blood related, like, we're not family, but we're basically family. Like, I've called these people my cousins my whole life.
Same,
we're not blood related.
Same kind of region is what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah, even though Riccio and I definitely aren't from the same region.
Okay, well, whatever.
Yeah, still, we're Italian paisans. We're going to cut to break. On the other side, we'll talk about...
Sorry, I know. I wanted to. Yeah, but the only thing is we're about to get into an ad about Parallel 4-9. We just had a little conversation with our rep there. We got to mention the Oktoberfest. And I know we're going to talk about Parallel in the ad. We're going to be recording a new one pretty soon because I got those two new beers coming out. But Oktoberfest going on until Sunday's the last day. Sunday's the last day, and they were saying right now you can go down during the middle of the week, sit down and get a table. Weekends are crazy because that's when they think Oktoberfest is going on, but yeah, it's going on all week long.
Polka band. Yeah.
That's what I was about to say. Polka band live every night, Monday all the way to Sunday. It's wrapping up this week, so be sure to get down there. Go tonight. Hell, go tonight on Tuesday. Go Wednesday, Thursday. You don't have to just wait for the weekend. That's when it's all busy and you got the lineup. Go down there and listen to a polka band, 1950 Triumph Street. You'll hear us talk about it in the ad there. They got good beer, sauerkraut on sausages, all that good stuff. Schnitzel burgers.
That looked so good. It I did saw look that. Good. Yeah.
Everything that's really fried from there looks really good. I don't know what they're doing with that fryer, but they're doing it right for sure. But that's all I want to say. We're going to throw to an ad break now, which we will talk about more Parallel. We got a new one coming too. Like I said, a couple of those new beers that people like for drinking at hockey games during the fall and winter, they're coming back, which we'll get to next episode. We're not going to do a new episode. We'll do our little ad break now. We'll come back on the other side. We got a lot more to talk about. So why don't you hit that commercial there, Quads? Folks, summer might be over, but the time to drink Squish is never over. This drink is taking its way into the fall, into the winter, and this is the perfect beverage for everyone. It's not one of those zero-calorie drinks that has no flavor and just tastes like tonic water. These ones have some flavor, folks. Squish Beverage, you can find it all over BC liquor stores, but I'm telling you, you got to do a little bit of digging. You got to go to some private liquor stores. If you find it, tweet at us about it because other listeners want to know where they can find the Squish Lemonade. Comes in a variety of flavors. My favorite, Squish Lemonade Passion Fruit or Squish Lemonade Pineapple. Kind of lean towards pineapple most of the time. So go out and find Squish at your local BC liquor stores or do some of that digging and find the Squish Lemonades at private liquor stores across British Columbia. All right, folks, you know what time it is? We are here to talk about our favorite beer sponsor, Parallel 4-9 Beer. One of the go-tos, Quads. You can find this one at most restaurants, too. A lot of restaurants, I've never seen it around. The Trash Panda. Simple, one of the longest standing beers from Parallel 4-9. Highly recommend going out to try it. Not just the beers, though, but the patio, Quads. The patio at 1950 Triumph Street. Tell the folks about some food, And the sweet little drinks on the side that I know you like.
So the Muddler's Pink Lemonade is my go-to, but man, the food there. Cheeseburgers, chicken burger, the spicy chicken burger was fantastic. Sub the pickles, right? Get the pickles instead of jalapenos. Poutine, I had fantastic. I got some green onion in there, and it's nice and melted. The worst thing about a bad, like what makes a poutine bad is when the cheese is not melted. This one, it's melted, and it's very, very good. So go down, check that out. The poutine, the burger, the spicy chicken sandwich. What was that last thing we got?
We got some wings.
The wings, the Korean barbecue wings.
But they're also putting a roof over there. They're working on it for the fall, so it's not just going to be the patio. We got rained out the other day trying to go to Parallel 49, but they're putting a roof over it. The beers are always fresh. So many different beers on tap there. So go out and try some Parallel 49 beer. You can get it at every liquor store you can find, and also get on the 1950 Triumph Street to check out the Street Kitchen.
All right, and a massive thank you to all of our sponsors here at the Canucks Conversation Podcast. Chris, I wanted to get right into the poll question. Our poll question brought to you by Fuel the Fan, Blue Orca Sports Memorabilia. Go check them out. They've got a lot of good stuff. You can go get signed photos, all that fun stuff. Go check them out at Fuel the Fan on Twitter and on Instagram. Chris, poll question.
Yep, the site's being updated too. Now that we got the deal going on with them, he says they're getting more interaction. They're pumping up on the site. Nice. Check them out. They're on our poll question. You can see the link right there. Simple poll question this week, Quads. How are you?
What?
I'm amazing. I'm good.
Is that actually our poll question?
I wanted to get a feel for the angry folk a little bit. Just to check in here, it's been 200 episodes.
We just finished training camp, and you put the poll question as how are you?
Yeah.
You're joking. You're nope. Screwing with me.
I'm not.
I'm going to look.
I wanted.
That's actually the poll question. How did I not see this?
Well, you didn't even look at it.
What the heck? No responses. 142 votes. You posted this 7 hours ago. When we post the poll question during the show, we get like 200 votes in 5 minutes. Wow. You put this as the poll question.
Just wanted to check in on people. Is that too much to ask? See how people are doing.
All right. I just voted. I'm amazing. I'm feeling great, man. Like, I can't really complain. I'm in a really good spot.
I'm good.
Just good?
I'm good. Not amazing.
I guess, yeah, you have school and stuff.
Oh, well, now that you mentioned that, I'm angry because I have school is driving me up a wall. You know what I got to do this week? I have to record and produce 25 commercials.
Oh, man.
What am I doing? I have to do 25 commercials on top of working at 650, writing articles while you crack the whip on me at Canucks Army. And I got to come here and record. Okay. This is the good part.
First of all, I want to tell people what kind of boss I am, okay? Because last night, you come back with pizza. You're late coming back in the second period. I didn't give you any crap for that. And then I just wrote the post game for you. Like, I just wrote the second period for you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you didn't write the post game for me.
No. You were doing the post game, writing it on your phone, which is hilarious.
Yeah, the laptop was crapping out.
You got to get a new laptop, bud.
It's so bad.
It's time. Maybe I'll sell you this one, and I'll just go buy a new
one. Here's the thing. You're trying to sound all high and mighty here, like you're stepping in doing the second period. People can go look at that post game report. Look at the first period and the third period, how in-depth it is. I dive into everything that happened.
Nothing happened.
And look at your second period report. I left. I had 570 words or something like that after the first period. I come back and there's like 630 words. You didn't even do 100 words into there for second period. I'm like, hey, do you want to like, are you going to do the whole second period? Are you going to do the final thoughts, the thing that I was talking to you about? You're like, no, I'm not doing that. So you sit there after I bought you a beautiful gift for your promotion and everything. And the least you can do is do a freaking period for me.
Oh, man. That's why they pay me the big bucks, bud.
Ran into Tommy, though, and as I was taking my...
Yes, I waved to Tommy from the seats.
It was good to chat with him.
Yeah.
Talked about working on the farm out in Abbey a little bit.
Yeah.
He's saying.
Tommy the tractor guy.
Yeah, but he made the drive. Same drive for me.
Really?
I'm not going to say his area.
Doesn't he live in Abbotsford?
No, he's not in Abbotsford. He's closer to Vancouver now, he was saying. So
he must have
moved recently. Yeah.
Nice.
But it was good to chat with him. How did we not run into Clarissa, by the way? You mentioned her earlier in the episode. She was at the... Were you not looking at Canucks and Abbotsford's Instagram? She's all over the stories everywhere.
Wow.
Every third picture is Clarissa on the stories.
That's so funny. That's hilarious. They're trying to poach her from Canucks Army.
Yeah, they're sneaking her out of there. Yeah. And it was good to also just to see, like, we didn't really touch on this, but seeing fans back in the stands, man. How good was, like, honestly, like, the players have talked about it all the time, but even, like, I loved that feeling so much more. Like, it was, I think back to, like, when Brandon Sutter scored that hat trick goal And like people would have loved like that. I know that people have dumped on Sutter forever, but if fans would have been in the arena to see that reaction, would have been amazing. And it was unfortunate none of us, we were all just kind of chuckling away up in the media box at the time, but to see Brandon Sutter score a hat trick, to see, you know, Garland put his first goal in back in the net, to see how much the fans in Abbotsford loved Mikey DiPietro. Heck, I'm not even kidding. I was looking over to my right. I took a picture of it for proof. There was one point Mikey DiPietro makes a big save, and what's going on out in Abbotsford? A guy's got his shirt off. He's swinging it above his head. And I was like, whoa, Abbotsford, man. Like this, they're going to be wild for this Canucks team out there.
I was just thinking about this. People used to chant Markey. Obviously, there was the Lou. There's nothing for Demko, because what are you going to do? Demko, right?
No, that
doesn't
works.
Work. It doesn't work as well as Markey. Sure. Mikey, that's a chant. Yeah. That is a chant that's going to resonate well with the Abbotsford fans. That's going to be ringing off the walls in the Abbotsford. I'm going to go to the home opener. I don't know about you. I think that's a game you can't miss.
I'm always going to be in the Abbotsford game. I'm not
going to every game.
I'll be surprised.
I'll probably go to the home opener and maybe another one.
Yeah, I'll be surprised if you're out there at the home opener, to be 100% honest.
Well, I'll be at the home opener. No, I'll be at the home opener. You can't miss the home opener.
We'll see about that. Yeah, but a lot of people were screaming D. Like for DiPietro.
No,
well,
no.
That's like, listen, let the fans choose what they want to call him. But yeah, Mikey sounds pretty.
The fans don't know what they want. They wanted Ollie Olevi for a long time.
I'll tell you what. Yeah, I swung and missed on this poll question a little bit.
It's okay. I was just trying to
do something a little different. No, checking
it's
out.
It's
everyone.
A good one. It's a good one. Don't feel bad. It's fine. But yeah, I have to be honest with you, as somebody and you as well, who attended basically every home game last year. That was probably the most fun I've had in person at a Canucks game, and it wasn't even an NHL game, since, like, 2019. Because, I'm sorry, like, it was great seeing the media members, but we were, like, spaced out. Nobody was vaccinated. There's all that worry still. Nobody else is in the arena. There's the fake crowd noise. The smoke machine went off once. That was fun. But other than that, like, man, it's not the same,
man.
It
I think
is not the same without fans.
We were at the game. Was it the first game at home where it was Nils Höglander scores his first NHL goal? We were at that game.
Yeah.
And like, man, it's really too bad. Fans could have, like, fans will be in the arena for when Podkolzin scores his first goal. But we got to see Höglander's goal. And I just thought, like, damn, that's a moment that would have been great.
Should be enjoyed by fans.
It should be.
That's fans, what sports are all about.
Absolutely. Making a memory, seeing him wear that 36 jersey and score. You're not going to see that anymore. And by the way, remember, I've mentioned this. I ordered from my dirty fake jersey website. I got the girlfriend a Höglander jersey, number 36. It came yesterday.
Oh, no.
So, no, I like it. I think having the rookie jersey is kind of cool. And she doesn't care about the number.
Good.
So, you know, having that jersey, I think, is kind of cool because it's a rookie season. It's like a rookie card. You know, having the rookie jersey, I think that's fun. I'm not too mad about it. But yeah, I don't know how long that took. 7 months probably to get here.
Yeah, I have a Pedersen rookie jersey that I won't wear it anymore, but still.
Right. Fair enough. I'm going to a game as a fan this year at one point.
Are you?
Yeah.
Why?
The Philadelphia Flyers game.
Really?
Yeah, huh. I'll be at the Flyers game.
Are you going to wear your yellow jersey? The one you always wear to games?
Maybe. I don't know. I got a few to choose from now. They're all players that aren't on the Canucks anymore, though.
See, even when I didn't have media access and, like, I was still, you know, this is my Canuck way days, I would still wear a dress shirt to the games. Like, I wasn't wearing jerseys. There was one game I wore a jersey where I was like, you know what? Nobody's going to recognize me. I put my hat low. I was like, nobody's going
to. Well, no, I still wear a jersey if I go to a game as a fan.
But then when I went with you, when we went to Sedin retirement night, we were fans, technically. We went and had to buy tickets or whatever. I wore a dress shirt to that because I was like, we're 100% getting recognized tonight because I'm with you. Everybody recognizes you and goes, Faber! Oh, and Quats! Because, you know, a little shorter than you. No secret, but... Yeah. Yeah, you're a lot more
recognizable. If I wear that yellow jersey, you can spot me from space.
Yes.
That thing pops.
Even when we were walking down Expo Boulevard, people were like hanging out of their truck like, Faber!
Yeah, well, it's not hard with the Linden jerseys to stick out. But yeah, I think that's going to be really fun. Just seeing that last night was great. Like that was awesome, man. And to hear, I'd like, it's funny, like we were... You saw me. I was me and the security lady. We were having a ball together at training camp. Me and Jackie. Jackie was her name, older lady. And she was telling me how they all volunteer there as security. And instead of them getting paid for it, all the money goes to Salvation Army. I thought it was awesome. Like hearing the story from her about that. We were chit chatting about the team, me and Jackie, we were chit chatting the day away. And she was asking me, like, who are some of the players that are going to be big stars out here? And I said, well, let me ask you first, like, which do you know is go? Which player are you excited for in Abbotsford? She's like, I only know one, and it's DiPietro. And I said, yeah, well, you're bang on. He's going to be the big star out here. Yeah. You want to bring this up. You were spreading this around to everybody that wanted to hear you talk in the press box yesterday about this. Yeah, well, yeah, even I think you were talking Rob's ear off yesterday.
And even in the car ride home, Rob and I carpooled.
I told you right off the bat, you start telling me all these goalie things, and I was sitting beside, I said, save that in your brain. I don't want to hear any of this. I'm not going to listen to this all game long. But your take on Mikey.
Yeah.
Is he the second best goalie in the organization?
Yes, he is. And I know this is a hot take, and I know this is one that's going to ruffle a lot of feathers. Look, you know, like, if you've been listening to the show for more than like 2 weeks, you know I don't like to say bad things about goaltenders, but Jarholax looked fine, I guess, at training camp. Like, hasn't looked bad. There was a whole thing, he didn't have his own pads. I get that's not ideal, but just my early indications and just what I've seen is he's not going to be a guy that meshes extremely well with Ian Clark. And it's not even like there's going to be any hostility in that relationship. I don't think that's the case at all. Like, I think Halak is excited to work with Ian, and I think Ian's excited to work with Halak. I just think that it's going to be another case of, it's very difficult to teach an old dog new tricks.
Yeah, if I can add to that, I think it's going to be like Halak isn't going to get 100% of having Ian Clark as a goalie coach. Like, yes. You know, DiPietro gets every inch, every cent out of Ian Clark as a coach because he takes everything he says, whatever works. Same with Demko. Demko loves Ian Clark as a coach. He's 100% bought in. I think what you're saying is, you know, you don't know if Halak's going to 100% be invested. And, like, he'll be very invested. Obviously, he's going to learn a lot, but I don't think he's going to be like Demko and DiPietro, where major changes to his game come from working with Ian Clark.
It's different, and, you know, people shouldn't be giving Halak a hard time about this and being like, what the hell? Like, figure it out. Like, look, when you have been playing as long as Halak has, and you've had as much success as Jarholák has, and you're as respected as Jarholák is, you're going to be taught new things, and it's not like Halak's going to scoff at what Ian's telling him. It's just he's going to try to implement it, but when things start to go south, he's going to revert back to what he knows, and it's just human nature. Like, it's just natural. That's what's going to happen with Halak. But the reason I say that Mikey is the second best goalie, and really what this take is that Mike is blocked by the no move clause on the Halak contract. Like, Michael DiPietro is not making this team. He cannot make this team. The only way he's playing, and actually there's another way, I'll get into that later, but the main way that Mikey is playing is if there's an injury to Demko or Halak. Now, if Demko were to go down, knock on wood, everybody's going to assume that, oh, Halak is going to play and DiPietro is going to be the backup. My take is that if that occurs, Mikey's the better goalie, just overall. I think Mikey's going to be the guy that the Canucks should be looking to over Halak if Demko goes down. And I know a bunch of stuff has to happen for this to even happen, and it's a bit of a hot take, I get that, but Mikey just at camp, like, this is how I described him yesterday. I just said, Mikey looks like a goaltender who just, like, completely bought into everything Ian Clark told him, and he literally just looks like, if Ian Clark was describing what he wants a goaltender to look like, that's what Mike looks like.
It's like if Ian Clark made like a creative player on NHL, yes, and chose exactly every single stat and every single move and every single type of thing. Maybe not the height. Might want to.
I think Mike would give himself a few inches.
Well, yeah, and Mikey. Department. Let's give you, like, Mikey's not short like Halak. No. Halak's small. Yeah. Halak's is like a 5'10". Small. Yeah, I don't know about that. Even we saw him come out. People, you know, he's 5'10" on stats.
He's a quads 5'10".
Yeah, he's if you know he on elite prospects he's 5'10". He's Vasily Podkolzin 6'4" on elite prospects type height. But Mikey's like 6 foot. Like, he's not small.
No,
you know, not. Mikey's 6 foot in his Tinder profile for sure.
He might be 6'2" on Tinder.
He might be 6. I'd say 6'1" he could get away with on Tinder. Yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah, that's what happened. Well, if you're Vancouver Canuck, you'll be all right on Tinder anyways.
Yeah.
Someone put it on the Canucks Reddit. It's the 1 year anniversary of when Nils Höglander arrived. And it was him. It was because of the Tinder thing. And somebody tagged me in that and said, remember how sad Chris Faber was? I said, yeah, I was sad. I wanted to break so that funny news. So, yeah.
It was just some girl that matched them on Tinder.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that is too good.
Tough look for me becoming an insider when Tinder's beating me.
Tinder's beating you.
Tough.
That is so funny. Yeah, the other thing that I wanted to say, though, is just Mikey's looked great. The other way is actually because Abbotsford's down the road, bud. Like, a call-up for Mikey, because, you know, we look at the Abbotsford Canucks schedule, like, Wednesday, Saturdays a lot. They got, like, a Monday game, and Seelov starts the Saturday game. And I'm talking about Vancouver has a Monday game. You can call up DiPietro and carry three goalies on your roster. Like, a no-movement clause doesn't mean Jaro Halak can't be a healthy scratch.
Right.
Demko needs a break, maybe. Like, the option's there for DiPietro to get called up and then get sent back down.
Yeah, I'm looking more in like a back-to-back Tuesday, Wednesday type situation.
Exactly. And this is, you know, I fully expect...
This isn't foreign either, though. This happens
a lot in Toronto.
I've seen this in Toronto. I've seen this in teams that are in, you know, that are in the eastern part of the United States who have their AHL. This isn't a foreign thing to call up a goalie. You see it a lot. And it happened, like, I think it happened a lot with the New York Rangers in the past couple of years here because they had those young guys that you could move up and down very easily. It could be something that could, like, that's possible to even if he's backing up for a game or does, if he even gets into a game.
Yeah, exactly. And I think I fully expect Michael DiPietro to go down to the American Hockey League this year and absolutely light that league on fire. Like, I think a lot of people, and we saw a glimpse of it last night where people are going to start to say, whoa, okay, like, this guy's legit. Like, they legitimately have a solid goaltending stable here. Seelov's had a great performance in Seattle, although there were some things I didn't like from Seelov's, and I saw them at training camp as well, and I'm not going to get into it because I don't want to rip my son on the show, but, you know, people are saying, whoa, Seelov's. And, you know, I was telling people in August in that article, I said, you got to be higher on Seelov's. Like, a lot of people kind of forget about him because, you know, I feel like goaltending prospects just don't get enough coverage. They do on this show.
I was going to say, but, what are you talking about?
But in the market in general, a lot of them don't. Like, you know, there was one person in the city who knew anything about Aku Koskenvo, and he works for this show. So I'm just saying, like, goaltending prospects often don't get, because a lot of people, their goaltending coverage is goalies are voodoo, and then that's it. That's all they have to say.
Good enough for me.
No, it's not good enough. You should want to strive for more and strive for better coverage. You should demand better coverage in your market.
Yeah, whatever. You can have the whole market for goal coverage.
Well, Kevin Woodley helps out. Kevin Woodley's the guy.
Never heard of him.
Except prospects. I think I got Woodley covered on.
Okay. Hey, final. I want to, since we're on the goalie topic, we saw CeeLo start in the very first preseason game. Mm-hmm. Haven't seen much of Spencer Martin. Are you still in the camp that CeeLo's going down to the ECHL somehow to get games in, or is he going to back up Mikey now? Has the situation changed, do you think?
I don't think the situation has changed.
You can carry three goalies very easily in Abbotsford. Yeah. That's another possibility.
Yeah, they might do that. I just think that the best thing for CeeLo's development is just to play a ton of games. Now, if you're loaning him, because remember, Canucks don't have an ECHL affiliate. Kalamazoo is no longer there. They're with Columbus now. You don't have that control if you're sending him to the ECHL. Now, I know that Ian has a philosophy where he likes to be very tuned in with all the goalie coaches. Like, for example, last time I talked to Ian, he was telling me about how he's going to talk to Aku Koskenvo's goalie coach, and they're going to be on the same page and make sure that, you know, there's a clear plan in place that Aku is following, and that it's being presented by Ian, but is being reinforced by the goalie coach in Finland. Because, like you said, Ian has a lot of contacts out there. He said that he is going to be talking to Aku's goalie coach. That was the last time I talked to him. Now, that's all just to say that going to the ECHL is great, and you in theory, you're going to play a ton of games, but, you know, Manitoba last year, Seelov plays one game in Manitoba and didn't play again. So you run that risk of, you know, not controlling him and not knowing where he's going to play. I just don't know if there's a ton of value in him being the AHL backup, especially if Martin's there too.
You have the control, though.
You do have the control,
and you have Ian Clark down the road. Yeah. I think I would like the idea of CeeLo's backing up.
I would too. If I got to go see, those would be an Abbotsford game.
Be so many back-to-back games, and Mikey can't do all the, like, and as much as Ryan Johnson's told us that we're going to see 50, 60 games, much as Jim Benning has told us 50 plus games for DiPietro, he ain't going to be doing every single backup, like, back-to-back night. And he'll be out there in, you know, Ian Clark down the road. Ian Clark will be out there a lot, I'm sure. I think I like the idea of three goalies there in Abbotsford.
Yeah.
Know, even if Spencer Martin's not playing a ton, you know, he's got his sister's here. His brother-in-law is here. He'll be all right. And if he gets into games, if an injury happens, you have him right there ready to go to back up in the A if you need it.
Yeah.
And Spencer Martin's cage. Have we talked about this at all?
Chrome bucket. Very nice.
Chrome mask from back to top.
Yeah. Dave
down
Gunnarsson.
To the chin.
That's a Dave Gunnarsson.
Chrome mask. That's a... Yeah. It's an interesting one. Okay, off the goalie topic now.
Well, Jaro Halak's mask. No. Did you see that?
Yeah, did.
That was very nice. Pavel Dimitra tribute.
Yeah.
They played together.
Shows
on the Slovak
shows
team.
The person that Dimitra likely, we didn't know him, but I'm sure it shows the person that he likely was.
I've heard he was a good one.
Yeah, still being remembered like this by a fellow countryman there. I thought that's a great touch. I mean,
absolutely.
You love to see that from Halak. I think we'll have to wait maybe a little bit to get some more kind of info from Halak. I'm sure that'll be a talking point for him in a little bit here. But moving on, I want to talk about the OEL Pullman pairing, because that game in Abbotsford, Pullman impressed me more than OEL. OEL
Pullman skates well.
OEL ends up getting first star of the game. Don't really know about that.
I thought it was Mikey for sure.
Yeah, we both looked at each other when they're like, first star of the game. Al Murdoch, I thought he pulled a joke on us there. Good to have Al back out there too. Yeah. I sent him a message on Instagram today, actually. But to see OEL and Pullman together, like, Pullman looks like the type of guy that I'd like to see play with Quinn Hughes, man. Pullman was always staying back. He's not going to be good at moving the puck, but he really skated well, and he's a big body who has an active stick. There was times where OEL kind of got caught trying to escape the zone, and Pullman was right there to, you know, just when there's a loose puck that kind of bounces towards a slot a little bit, Pullman's right there, boom, chip it over the blue line, that's it. Like, I get, even in one game and watching him in training camp, I get what Pullman's game is. Like, he's not playing a complicated game. He's playing like a very simple, he's a defensive defenseman. I could see why he puts up no points, doesn't take penalties, and doesn't do any of that. I think he's going to fit fine. Like, I know the contract's going to be long, and we'll see how it plays out long term, but initial thoughts of him throughout training camp, I was pretty high on him as training camp went through, and then to see it kind of in one preseason game, I know it's so early, but we're going off of what we've seen, and I thought Pullman was good in that game, and I really liked how that's going to fit to let OEL be the best possible defenseman here, because it is a fit that I like. I liked the fit all through training camp, and I really liked it in game two of the preseason when they were together.
Yeah, absolutely. Liked him in training camp, liked him in that game. I haven't seen anything yet that makes me go, ooh, got to split that up. And it was rumored that they were going to be the shutdown pairing for the Canucks this year. Seeing them skate together in camp kind of reinforced that. And now, obviously, in the preseason, I think it's safe to say that's the pairing. That's the pairing the Canucks are going to be going to a lot.
OEL now puts up 2 points in that game in Abbotsford. What'd you think?
I was surprised by how, not by the offense. I was surprised at how feisty he was and how much bite he has to his game. Like, he was ready to throw some hits. And I don't want to shift the conversation too much away from OEL, but another guy that surprised me a lot with his physicality was Rathbone. Rathbone wasn't throwing hits like he is now last year. And going into every board battle, like, he wants to rip the guy's head off. Like, Rathbone was extremely physical. I'd say other than OEL, he was probably the Canucks' most physical defenseman last
night. Okay, I thought you were going to say player. I'll say defenseman, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was. But just to watch OEL move the puck, you know, there was things like, I liked that when the pairing of OEL and Pullman was out there together, OEL was typically moving the puck from the left side up the boards or finding a crossing winger or the center that was kind of moving to the right from the center. And like, there's options for OEL there quite a bit to break out the zone. But when the pass wasn't there, the thing that I really liked was how Pullman was able to position himself, whether it was behind OEL or to the right of OEL and a little bit back, like wherever Pullman kind of read where OEL was going with the puck, he was always a really good just, hey, if the pass isn't there, Pullman's there for the pass to kind of reset everything. And like, that was what I liked about the pairing, was Pullman, his skating is so well that it gets him into a fine spot to be an option. Like, he doesn't want to be the primary puck mover. He shouldn't be the primary puck mover ever. Like, Pullman would have, like, if you would have put Pullman and Rathbone together yesterday, Rathbone would have been the first star by a mile.
Yes.
Like, Rathbone and Pullman would be nice. If you had the option to move Pullman down as your third pairing guy somehow, the option's just not there. But like, Pullman and Rathbone would be a pairing I'd be excited to see on a third pairing. It's just the way the Canucks defense is shaped out. That's literally the first pairing right now is OEL and Pullman, which is unfortunate. But I don't know. I think the contract's too long, and I still think it'll be. I just like the $2.5 million. I don't think is the worst, but to me, still 4 years is too much for a guy in Pullman's spot.
Yeah,
it's way too long, and I'm saying that as someone who's been very impressed with Pullman off the top. So, you know, you can't write him off yet. We liked him from a preseason game, but you can't, you know, put him in permanent marker in the lineup as like the number one right side guy. Now he's going to be it. Pullman's the show, you know, like
welcome to the pool show.
Yeah, whatever you want to, we can do better than that, but
the Pullman show.
Yeah.
I think the Pullman show is a nice ring.
There's, it's close to Truman Show. Have you ever seen the Truman Show?
No, nope. I don't even know what that is.
What?
No, I've heard of the name. Well, who's Truman?
Jim Carrey.
Who's Jim Carrey?
Okay,
I'm joking.
Now you're messing for sure. This is ridiculous.
I don't know the Truman Show though.
Truman Show is a great movie from I guess it was.
Oh, it's a movie.
Yeah, before your time.
Okay, what year?
Oh, man, I don't know. 90.
Does it start with a 19.
97. Yes, if I had to guess, I'm gonna have to check that right now. But the final guy that I wanted to mention here before we get into prospects report, because I got a few quick things for the prospects. Jonah Gajewicz.
Yep.
Travis Green talked about him committing in the offseason and getting better at skating, that he looked lighter, that he liked his game in the end. 1998. I was pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
With the Truman Show, by the way. Gajewicz
looked pretty good.
Looked good. I think that he looked good. He had a great play. Like, what a great play that he made to get that assist. Yeah. He's got two goals in the scrimmage games that he's played in. He was physical. There was a time where he was roughing up people after the whistle, things that Gajewicz has to do. But the problem is he doesn't kill penalties and he doesn't fit on a Travis Green fourth line.
Still won't make the team, yeah. Like, 2 years ago he might have made the team. Not this year. Too much depth. The Canucks have too much depth, and their roster construction now really needs someone who can kill penalties playing in that bottom six.
So my question to you is, how does Jonah Gajewicz get into the NHL? What's the way? Because it looks like there's a way. There's a way that he can be an NHL player. Opening night, doesn't seem like there's a route that way, but what is the route for Gajewicz to get to the NHL?
Go down to the AHL and develop as a penalty killer. Like, there needs to be direction from the top to the bottom of that organization. Well, maybe not the bottom, but from the top of that organization to develop Jonah Gajewicz as a penalty killer. Similar.
When I get out to Abbotsford, I would never do this because Trent Cole would kick my ass, but I need to grab Trent Cole by the jersey, by the shirt, and say, you need to turn Gajewicz into a penalty killer.
I'm sure he'd love that.
Yeah, him and his, what did he have?
He's 400 tall. I saw him. I met him. Well, not met him, but I saw him yesterday.
Yeah.
He's huge.
Oh, and he's awesome to deal with. And he'd kick my ass. He had 400 penalty minutes, I think, in one of his years.
He's built. He's really, yeah.
And he was
going to ask him if he's on creatine.
No, he wasn't a goal scorer. I'll tell you that. He wasn't a goal scorer when he played. He was a defenseman who played in the, in the 80s and 90s. He would kick my ass, like I've said. But I won't grab him by the shirt. But Trent Cole needs to get Gajewicz killing penalties. Two players that he needs to get killing penalties. Will Lockwood, Jonah Gajewicz. Those two need to kill penalties. Will Lockwood's not going to make this team because he can't kill penalties in the NHL. Well, he might be able to, but Travis Green's not going to let him kill penalties in the NHL.
Yeah.
As much as he has stolen the show at training camp, and as much as we've really liked his game, he's in a similar spot, but for different reasons than Gajewicz. He's not going to play on Travis Green's fourth line. DiGiuseppe, who started the season killing penalties last year, as Daniel Wagner told us, because Wags talked to him, he's going to get chances ahead of him. Highmore's going to get chances ahead of him. And those guys that can kill penalties and play in your fourth line, they're going to get chances, even though they might not be better NHL players and not bring more to an NHL team overall. Gajewicz and Lockwood just aren't going to get that opportunity. But man, I think Gajewicz, when he goes down to the AHL, which I think he's going to, he is going to just need to rip it up. That's when, we talked about with Harm and we made the bet. I think Gajewicz still gets into more than 2.5 NHL games. I'm taking the over.
I'm taking the under with Harmon.
I know you're taking the under with Harmon, but I think if he goes down to the A and he showed, if he's a faster player than he was last year, which he is, and he's still doing a lot of the same things to score goals, which he is, you see how smart he is at just being in the right spot. Not only body-wise and where he's positioned in front of the net, but the way that he gets his stick away from defenders always. People wonder why he gets a stick on so many loose pucks around the net. It's because watch the way that he just does such a good job of boxing out whoever he is with in front of the net that gives him so much space for his stick. It gives him so much space for him to quickly, if the puck is literally on his half, because he's doing such a good box out on the other, on the defenseman that he's battling with in the front of the net, he will score the goal, or at least he'll get a really good scoring chance from within 2 feet out of the crease. Like, that's how he gets so many goals, is he's so good around the net that it's not just because he's big and strong. It's because he's big, strong, and smart. Like, he's big, strong, and smart, and knows where to be with him, with his body, and with his stick. So I think he's going to go down the AHL, and I think he's going to score a ton of goals again. I think he's going to be the guy scoring the most goals in the AHL again this year.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think he is. I think he's going to. I think he just needs to develop that side of his game.
Yeah, so I'll have a conversation with Cole. I hope he doesn't hear this. He's going to, like I said, he's going to hear this. He's going to kick my ass the first meeting that we get there. Yeah,
your first scrum. He's going to pull your shirt over your head and start beating on you.
Yeah, that won't be a good look for me. I'm sure there'll be pictures of that. More pictures of that than your boots from whatever training camp that was.
I like those boots.
You didn't like those boots?
Got a little sore. I got a little sore, but they look cool. They make me taller.
I don't know if you, like, back in high school, like, the offensive linemen and defensive linemen that, like, on the football teams that played and, like, wanted to get to the next level, they would walk around school, like, during the day with weights around their ankles. Like, these, you could buy these rings
that
you would put around your ankles. And it wasn't much. It was, like, 3 to 5 pounds.
That's the difference.
And that's the thing. You'd get to football practice after wearing these all day and walking around, being in school with these weights around your ankles. You get to football practice and you're buzzing because you take the weights off.
Yeah.
And that was what the offensive and defensive linemen used to do. It was a little trick.
Wow.
Why did I say that? Oh, your boots. Because your boots are so damn heavy. You and me had to walk across the campus to find the Tim Hortons there to try and do some writing.
Couldn't even do it. All we did was get you a bagel.
Yeah, I paid $9 for a freaking bagel. And
don't say bagel. It's bagel.
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 That's what I'm saying. Bagel.
No, there's too much ah. It's not bagel.
That's not what I'm saying.
I know.
Bagel.
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 Yes.
Bagel.
No. You went back the other way.
Oh, man.
Anyways, we'll close the note here. This has, like, been a great episode 200.
When I say the plural of peanut, I tend to always say another word.
Is silent?
I always say a word that, yeah, it doesn't sound like it. That's one that really struggle. I can always say peanut fine, but if I say the plural.
This is a family show.
It's a family show. We don't need any of that here.
Subscribe to the Patreon to hear Chris say peanuts.
Next episode, I'll say the plural of peanut for 10 minutes straight.
Is it that bad? Oh, man. Okay. Well, we'll close it out there. We checked all the boxes. No, we won't.
I got a prospect report.
Oh, yeah, we didn't check all the boxes yet.
Lucas Forssell, his team sucks. They suck so bad. They're a horrible team. They're the worst team in the J20 league that he's playing in the Södra league or Södra league, whatever South is in Swedish. I'm picking up a few of the terms here.
You're great.
Forssell's team sucks so bad. Every goal that gets scored by his team is either him scoring it or him getting the primary assist on it. I get it. It's tough. It's in a league that, you know, a league where he should be dominating, and I think he is as much as he can, but man, I watched some of these games and his line is the only line that's able to get out of their own zone for more than a minute. It's so bad to watch. And I don't understand why, because they're a decent organization and they should be like having a decent J20 team, but something has happened this year with that team. And Forssell, man, I really feel for him. He got an opportunity to go up and play in the SHL. He got 10 seconds in a shift, which everyone's going to talk about him getting SHL games now, even though this is the same thing that happened with Pearson last year.
Yeah.
Like, look at Forssell getting these SHL games. He got a quarter of a shift. Forssell got in, but he got to go up there and practice with the team for a day and got to skate with them and play in a game. Technically, he got 10 seconds. Anyways, what's going on with him with J20? Man, he's got one other player on his team that's half decent, and the rest are just horrible. So I feel for Forssell. It's been tough to watch him play, but he's still creating. He's still doing the best he can. I think by the end of the year, we're talking about him being in the SHL, and I think that sets him up for a big year next year. But this year, it's going to be hard. It's going to be really hard on him. I'm going to be, you know, keeping tabs with him and chatting with him. He's a good dude, good to talk to. Still a kid, 17 years old. But to see him get SHL games, I think, like, he's going to have to, like, there's going to need to be an injury for him to get into the SHL. And that's kind of the, you know, you don't want to ever hope for an injury, but for him, you just want to get him off that J20 team. That's a bad team, man. They're losing games 5-1. They're losing games 7-2, like 5-0. Like, it's hard to watch. And then you see the goals and it's Forssell with an assist or him scoring it each time. So tough sledding for Forsell early on in the season, but at least already he's gotten a call up to the SHL. I think that's a very positive note for him at 17 years old. That's great. So we'll see what happens with his season moving forward. And final thing, Connor Lockhart heading back to the OHL, heading back to the Erie Otters. Not officially made yet, not officially tweeted by Rick Dhaliwal yet, but he is. He was, you know, I talked to him. We got an article dropping tomorrow, actually, in Canucks Army with a lot about it. I love the quote from him saying that, you know, if he would have played in the OHL, without a doubt, he's getting drafted higher. He's a confident kid. I had a nice one-on-one chat with him, just kind of talking. And I said I wouldn't put this in the article, but I'll say it in the podcast. He's saying, like, the OHL screwed him and a lot of other guys in his position. They kept saying, like, oh, we're going to be coming back. We're going to be coming back. Just wait. Like, don't go. And he had a spot to play in Europe, he was saying. Like, he had multiple teams in Europe that would have taken him. But he couldn't go because he was like, well, the OHL keeps saying, like, oh, 2 weeks. We're going to start in 2 weeks. Training camps are going to fire up. And then nothing would happen. And then, oh, two more weeks. And, like, he got to skate with some really good NHL players. Got to skate with Claude Giroux in the offseason. I thought that was good. And former Canuck, Benny Hutton, as he called him. Got to skate with Ben Hutton in the offseason, and his trainer was able to keep them on the ice the whole 18 months. So the thing that he told me was, like, it was a really mentally draining offseason, but it was a massive test that he had to overcome, and he did. Like, 18 months of the longest time he went without ice was 2 weeks over 18 months. This kid's committed, man. I'm going to be really interested to see what he can do in the OHL. He's going to be in a big role with them. They got a couple forwards that were also at NHL camps, and if they return, his thought was that that's going to be the trio that's going to play together in Erie there. So three NHL draft picks coming back after not getting an OHL season, but still getting drafted. These guys are going to be ripping up the OHL for the Erie Otters. So it's going to be a fun thing to follow for him. And the final thing was, I asked him, like, what are the goals? Like, are you trying to be one of the top scoring guys in the OHL? Like, what's your goal for next year? And his goal was just to be signed. He said he just wants to play good enough that the Vancouver Canucks want to sign him. So that I thought was kind of interesting. Maybe maybe he wants to get into the AHL as soon as this season. So Lockhart, we liked a lot what he saw in camp. The guy can really skate. The guy can really shoot. I thought after Pod Colson at rookie camp, I thought Lockhart was the second best forward.
Yep, I agree. He's solid.
He can move. He's not the biggest body. Definitely isn't.
I'm taller than him.
You're taller than him, but he's thicker than you. You think you're in shape.
He's on creatine for sure.
Okay, you and your creatine nowadays. but he's definitely on creatine. He had veins popping up. And you know what? He's the same as you. When I interviewed him one-on-one, he's flexing the whole time. Same thing you always do.
We're not flexing. This is just how we look.
You just flexed as you said that. You, like, plucked your shoulders up and flexed as you said that.
Jeez. Oh, man. Okay, do you have anything else on the prospect?
No, that's all I got. You can wrap it up. 200 episodes. Good times.
200 episodes, Chris. It has been an absolute pleasure to be here for 140 of those. So for Chris Faber, my name is David Quadrelli. Thank you so much for listening to a very special episode 200 of the Canucks Conversation.
Thanks for listening to Canucks Conversation, delivered by DoorDash. Hit the subscribe button to never miss an episode.
How about keep it to a thank you, Jim?
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.